All right, guys, welcome back to the Pursuing Purpose podcast. Oh my gosh, this feels so good to be recording again and like be back into it. This next 30 minutes, I want to do like a quick monologue, but basically it's going to be the topic points of the podcast, why it's kind of been on hiatus, mental health, today's National Suicide Prevention Day. And then also relationships that had to do with my mental health, like my breakup and stuff like that. Yeah, I know we're freaking going there. It's going to be a 30 minute monologue. But I just wanted to chat a little bit and kind of, I guess, share my perspective on the podcast. And like, it's been so, I don't know, summer's been crazy too, but let's just get into it. Welcome back. I'm your host, BC Serna. This is a podcast where I created because I wanted to pursue conversations with amazing people and with this community about what it means to live a life bigger than yourself, the idea of pursuing purpose. So wait one sec. Let me fix this. So yeah, I hope it's not too loud. I can never tell with the tech side of this. I'm still learning, but thank you so much for checking in and hanging out for a little bit. So yeah, mental health, this is a big conversation. This is like a big topic point for 2019, which has been obviously a bigger topic point for a while, but now we're slowly starting to push away from the taboo topic of talking about it and talking about this, this conversation of, is there a buzz going on? Okay. But anyway, the conversation of, mental health and anxiety and depression, we've reached the tipping point to where it is no longer, it can't be just brushed over. And it's not made to be fully understood because it is a much more spiritual, like scientifically we can measure stuff and talk about the science of the chemical imbalances and medication and all these different things. Like, we could talk about that all day. But I think it's to a point now where there's so much we don't understand still on some levels of it. Like, we understand that like technology plays a part in it, and gut health and like food play a part in it, and culture takes a part in it. But I think that there's a spiritual side where we are learning more about embracing the unknown of it. Right. Because a lot of people are like, what do you mean you can't get out of bed in the morning and like make your bed and just go to your work day, you know? And people are like, I can't. Like, my body is, the biology of my body isn't enabling me. I'm not able to do that, you know? And I'm not able to go to work or do X, Y, and Z. And a lot of people for a long time were like, I just don't understand it. I don't get it. And now it's to a point where it's like, I think we're having more compassion and empathy towards it because it's real. Like, it's very real. Like, when you see today's biggest celebrities, the most success, fame, money, wealth, all these different things, checking into rehab centers or committing suicide. Anyway, there's a bigger thing going on, especially when, you know, suicide comes in stories with, you know, with the most popular kid in school or whatever it is. You know, I think, anyway, it's a topic that I want to bring on guests and hosts where we dive into the science and the culture and the statistics of it and stories of it. But for me, this 30-minute monologue is just me kind of checking in with my mental health, because I run really fast and do a lot of things and put a lot of pressure on my shoulders. And I've been learning as I'm getting older and doing this for so long, like from 19 years old, I'm 31, turned 31 last month, I traveled nonstop. And I traveled to the most intense parts of the world, from like Syrian refugee camps in Lebanon to South Sudan refugee camps in Uganda to, I mean, just the really insane, intense stories. And it was always like a journey between person like me and God, like when I was going on these trips and having to digest it and like really like come back home and then do like my youth group that I did with Young Life for so long. But anyway, I've realized that I spent a lot of my time putting others first, and it was good. I definitely like don't ever discourage people to do that. I understand the concept of like taking care of yourself first so you can help others. I don't know if I fully agree with it, which makes a lot of people upset, because my life was so rich for 10 years, like literally putting other people first. I had so much purpose, so much excitement. Of course, it's not the most sustainable on long term, But if you can go seasons of your life where you're just like pouring into people and others, like in a creative space or a giving back space or a mentoring space, there's something beautiful about it. And that's why this whole conversation about purpose is like, when I launched this program, this podcast, I remember I was like, anxiety and depression's on, it's all time high right now. It's on the rise. And, I feel like when we have purpose, a greater sense of why we're here or a greater picture than just us, I feel like it gives us a little bit of breath of fresh air. We're like, okay, my depression, anxiety, it's really focused on myself. I'm very focused on me, which is totally okay to do. I never want to discourage you with that. But I feel like for me personally, that when I was like, okay, I'm going through X, Y, and Z in my mental health, my spiritual health, my physical health, all these things. But when I started helping people and serving people and like not making about me, it gave me a little bit more just freedom and freshness of like, okay, I don't know. I guess like, it's just like when you're looking, you know, at yourself so long, you're just, it gets worse and worse. You know, it just perpetuates itself and makes it bigger and bigger and bigger. And then you get anxiety and depression about having anxiety and depression. And then, you know, it just kind of like, it snowballs effects, you know? And so anyway, so me personally, I've always wanted to be someone that just tries to remain as authentic as possible and never follow the cultural, you know, waves and crowds of just like, I mean, I live in LA, the epicenter of just like constant hustle and like pleasing everyone and pleasing, you know, your followers or your fans, or like just I live in the social media realm, and I just see people get burnt out left and right and just so anxious all the time of just like their followers control them, their energy, their like their momentum, their motive, like everything is revolved around their social platforms and like pleasing their followers. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, that must be horrible. Like I've been in that boat too, like with the mindsets too. And I'm just like, dang, that is so dangerous and toxic and like not sustainable. And also just like, can you like, I don't know. I remember I was talking to these influencers the other day, these social media influencers, and they were talking about, you know, being an entrepreneur, being on your own boss. And I kind of laughed and I was like, you realize you have 10,000 bosses? Like it's one bad thing to have one bad boss if you work at, you know, Chipotle or whatever, but you have 10,000 bosses breathing down your neck when you're an influencer, because you have 10,000 people or more that when you wake up, you trying to please them by posting on your stories or your Instagram and or your TikTok or your YouTube, whatever, like you're trying to please them at all times. And you're always like, guys, what kind of content do you want to see? It's just like, it's this long, crazy game of like, how do I please these 10,000 bosses that I have? Like you legit have 10,000. And so anyway, I'm always trying to like kind of check influencers and like challenge them, because I'm always trying to check myself and challenge myself as like, is this authentic? Is this real? Is this me? I, for a long time, I stayed away from any sort of brand partnerships or like paid partnerships. I was just like, no way. Like my platform was built organically through humanitarian filmmaking and storytelling, and gosh, I'd feel so weird. But now I'm in a place and season where I've just kind of like, you know, I've learned to embrace it and kind of take it for what it is, and how I can make it a bigger and better thing. Because the reason I moved to LA, a big reason was I was like, whoa, culture is made here. Business is done here. My mission at the end of the day, at the very end of the day, my mission is to help as many people as possible. Is it through inspiration, mentorship, just encouragement, through love, through, you know, stories. And that's my biggest mission. And on a cultural level, I want to change. I want to shift culture in that mentality. And so when I came here, I was like, okay, how can I captivate and cultivate businesses that want to just give money to do good? Because these companies, if I say no to all of them, which I was just saying no to all of them, they're like, okay, well, we'll just go give our money to someone that's not doing good. And you know, just trying to switch my mindset of like, okay, money's not a bad thing. It can help you help more people. You know, 80% of all of my money I get goes towards like helping people and towards kids I mentor and students I mentor and like giving back. Like all of my money goes towards helping people, and I can't help more people if I don't have more money. So I'm learning to embrace and transition into like money is the fuel, is the power, is like leverage to help more people. It's not a bad thing. But then also trying to remain authentic. Even so, the podcast, like something to bring up. So, you know, we're at 10 minutes, but thanks for hanging out with me. I just wish we could talk. I wish we were, like I said, in all my podcasts, I wish we were having coffee and we were going back and forth, because it feels weird just rambling on and talking, because it's different. But anyway, I'm learning. But anyway, the podcast has been doing really well. Like each episode, I think, has like 3,000 or 4,000 plays. I think total is almost 50,000 plays and downloads, which is just like above and beyond. I literally in my head was like, okay, if 10 or 15 people listen to this, they'll get some like cool stories and they'll understand me better. But wow, my heart is like when people share the podcast and rate it or whatever, my heart is just like, whoa, this is crazy. Like, y'all, if you don't think you have a message, I literally started this podcast with no intention of like touching more than 100 people and thousands listening to it. So I'm so blessed. And when you guys share it or it motivates you or you get a quote from it, it's awesome. But anyway, so the podcast is doing really well and everyone's like, when's the next episode? I get messages every day and I work with like a management company now and just friends, you know, and I remember just being like, well, I can't, if my mental health isn't good right now, I can't just put on a fake face and try to record something. You know, like I really want to be authentic with the podcast. I want to be in a good space. I don't want to create an episode just because people are pressuring me to, like, that just wouldn't feel real. So I literally have not created one in months and the pressure kept on getting more intense and it made me even more push away. But I knew I was just going to have to come to a place where I wanted to have like 10 episodes backlogged or at least a handful where I could just like continue to make a consistency with it, because that's where I struggle with most. But my mental health's been crazy. So this year has been tons of highs, like really amazing breakthroughs, like just radical leaps of faith from launching the Mentorship Mastermind program that has changed my life. And oh my gosh, that was the coolest thing. Like that was insane. 25 people, 8-week journey. It was insane. And then obviously like something I haven't talked about anywhere on any social media platforms is this breakup that I went through, which I just decided to like kind of keep to myself. Cause if you know me, social media is great, but I do keep my personal life like pretty personal. But I've always like tried to learn how to blend with it, like, you know, have fun with it and not really care that much. But yeah, went through a crazy breakup, like insane. If you follow me for the last, you know, couple of years, you know that Taylor and I were dating for like 2.5 years and we traveled the world, did all this stuff together. It was crazy and people definitely support us. We had a video that was, you know, 50 million views or something like that on Facebook where it was like best boyfriend ever video or something. And so people knew that, that we were together. And then I think people started to get the idea that we were broken up and it was something that I, for me personally, suppressed. I mean, on some level, because I'm just a runner. I'm a 7 on the Enneagram. And if you know 7s, we don't like, you know, feeling certain bad emotions, but I'm just really running fast. So during that breakup, I was creating the mastermind program. And I was obsessed with the curriculum and the program and then launching it and then hosting it and then a success. And then we had the Vail trip. But after all that died down, like all those feelings, like one thing I always say is like, if you don't deal with your heart, then your heart deals with you, right? So all those feelings relationally, because everything else in my life was really blessed. Like I'm really fortunate. They're from amazing parts of that season. But I finished all those programs seven months later, maybe 6 or 7 months later. And I was like, oh crap, these are the emotions I suppressed for the last 6 or 7, 8 months of this breakup. And yeah, it was crazy. It was definitely like a whirlwind of emotions and highs and lows. And yeah, it's been insane. And I don't even want to say like I'm fully like over it. Like I'm not like, we're not supposed to be together, Taylor and I, which is like just, it's so apparent and obvious. Like we tried and she's incredible and amazing. And obviously 2.5 years doing so much together around the world was like such a huge blessing and gift. And we had some awesome times together, but there's just ton. We tried, you know, we tried our best on both parties and both ends. We literally tried everything and nothing was working. And so we just knew to go our separate ways. And it was obviously difficult and hard. Breakups are so messy and confusing. And I heard someone talking about the other day, like on a podcast, it was like, it's like a death, you know, in your life where, but the person's still alive. I don't remember where I heard that, but it's like, it's intense. It's really intense to take someone out of your life that's so interweaving to, your family, your relationships, your work, everything like that. So anyway, so that was a big part of my mental health. And my mental health for me is so crucial and important because I know I need to go at my own pace. Because the second I get ahead of myself where I'm trying to people please everyone or serve everyone or show up for everyone, I've had this weight of the world on my back for so many years, so long. Like I used to literally not sleep at night thinking about refugees and thinking about my inner city kids in Denver. Like I would just be like, one of my students would get arrested or shot or fail a class or mess up. And I'm like, oh my God, it's my fault. Everything was my fault. Like the problems in the world for so long in my 20s was my fault. Like I carried this weight. And one day I remember God just being like, dude, stop, just chill, like relax. Like you're doing what you can and you're loving people where they're at, and your job is to never in a million years carry their stories. And so I've learned to just like slowly let go of that weight and that burden of like, I mean, anywhere from like the homeless people I used to work with, just so much stuff that would like catch up to me. So my mental health now is I actually do end, I don't end, but I think sometimes I taint, I don't know if I taint or ruin friendships, but I just know when to say no. And I think sometimes the bigger the no on the outside is the bigger the yes on the inside. Like my, like I just have to say no to hanging out with people or spending time with people or meeting up with people or catching up with people. And it's so hard as the, like, I'm the king of people pleasing and trying to bless people. And with my mental health, I'm just like, you know, I just got to keep to myself, like stay in my own lane, stay in my own like energy and realize what's serving me and loving me and leading me. And so, yeah, I don't know. For me, it's just like, yeah, I'm just trying to like balance all that. And, sorry, I got a little sidetracked. My house dog, my dog was at my door, but, yeah. So anyway, yeah, the breakup was tough. Just navigating, obviously journaling is something I preach and talk about more than anything. We're at 16 minutes, guys. So just, we're halfway there. I just want to do a 30-minute monologue, just talking about mental health. But for mental health for me, it's definitely understanding my energy. Like I have like a pie chart in my head of how much time I spend with people. And you know, every time you add someone to your life or add like a job or school or whatever it is, like there's this pie chart of time and energy you have in your day. And you just got to realize what part of your pie chart you have the ability to give more to, you know, as you add friendships or relationships or dating or school, whatever it is, your pie chart and your energy chart is like only so much percent can go to so much percent. And so you have to learn how to harness that and like take it for its value. So yeah, I journal a lot, you know, I try to exercise. I try to eat healthy as possible. I'm like always just like, okay, man, you need to be mentally strong and sound, emotionally strong and sound, because you create space to help people's stories and their traumas and their lives. Like you lean into people in a really deep way. Not only relationally, like one-on-one, but then, you know, through social media, always trying to like serve people and bless people and use this platform to like, you know, I just get the most insane stories of like depression and suicide and like these messages in my Instagram. And I'm just like trying to always be like, okay, how much do you want to respond to all these? How much do you want to love in these people? Like, how much do you want to like go there? And sometimes my heart's like, dude, go all the way there. Give this person your phone number, you know? But anyway, yeah. So I don't know. I wanted to kind of just dive into like, so I have like a couple podcasts recorded where I interviewed my roommate Sorrel, which is an incredible creative YouTuber, just badass woman. I interviewed another roommate that was from New Zealand or he's from Canada. He lives in Bali. And he talks about health and fitness and his purpose. And my whole podcast is I'm going to be interviewing people. I'm going to be adding to the repertoire of the people I interview and hopefully maybe do some more monologues. I don't know what, you know, people like more, but I think adding people is really cool because you hear way different stories. And the way I ask questions is I'm always trying to navigate, like, how were your 20s? What were your 20s like? When did you start to tap into purpose and passion? What were your fears like? What was your family like when you were chasing these goals and dreams? Cam is the guy I interviewed, the fitness guy from Canada who lives in Bali. He talks about he met his now fiance. They proposed a couple months ago and he's 32, you know, and he just engaged, you know? So it's like, I just always want to give 20-year-olds this breath of fresh air that like, hey, you're on the right track. Don't compare your life to your friends that have kids or husbands or jobs or careers. Like, go at your own pace. You are different than any other person and your story is supposed to be different and more intimate and real and raw and, you know, questionable on some days. You're supposed to be like, what the heck am I doing? And why am I here? And why am I so confused and annoyed and emotional? And you're supposed to be there. Trust me, I still ask those questions. I'm like, why am I so emotional today? Why am I so this today? Why am I so confused today? Why do I feel hopeless today? Like me, like I've traveled the world, done so much. And there's days where I'm like hopeless, y'all. Like I just sit there being like, what am I doing with my life? And I that's what, like, I think for anxiety and depression, sometimes when I'm going through those things, it feels like I'm having an outer body experience. I don't know if anyone can relate to this, but when I feel like I'm depressed, I'm literally so sad and just like hopeless and energyless. And I'm just like depressed. But then my brain, it's like this outer body experience where it's like, whoa, you've traveled the world. You've done so much. You've helped people. You're really blessed. And my brain's like, I know those things. It's not changing my attitude right now. And so allowing those emotions to kind of navigate themselves, it's kind of a mix where you, where, like I always say, energy or emotion is energy in motion, right? So emotions is energy trying to get through your body or come through your body. So you want to feel it, you want to acknowledge it. And then also realizing that, like, what are things that maybe, like, are you exercising? Are you eating healthy? Are you building community? Like, are you being vulnerable with your friends? Like, I get, dude, there's days when I'm depressed. I don't want to talk to a single soul, a single person. I'm like, please, no one come in my room. I do not want to talk to anyone. And then there's days where I'm like, yeah, I don't want to get out of bed. But then, but obviously if it's reoccurring, and of course you can go to doctors, and medication has been helpful and a huge blessing to a lot of people. My relationship, I've never been medicated. But I don't know, that I can do a whole other series about, like, there's a lot that goes into depression and chemical imbalances in our brains. And I'm not any doctor. I want to bring on doctors and people who study this stuff, but I've read and I've researched that a lot of traumatic experiences can cause the chemical imbalance. And so I'm not saying if you go and heal that childhood trauma that your chemical imbalance will heal. But I'm saying that I've read articles and studies and research, and I've worked with thousands and thousands of 20-year-olds and young adults and teenagers, that there is a traumatic experience or moments in our childhood that could potentially have created the chemical imbalance. They've actually even done studies that when you're a kid and you're 5 years old or 6 years old, 4 years old, and you hear your parents say, like, oh, he's really shy or she's really shy, that something in your biochemistry of your body hears that, acknowledges it, and goes, oh, I'm shy. And then your body starts to develop this characteristic of, I am shy because people have told me I'm shy. So therefore I've created the shyness, which, like, it might've not been there before, which is crazy to think about. I know that sounds really kind of like paranormal, maybe insane, but it's true. Like, they've done study. I don't know if it's true, but I'm saying, like, I've read and heard these things and researched these things. And so there's actually moments too, when you're a child, that a traumatic experience happens, and that you now have some sort of chemical imbalance, whether it's distrust or anxiety or whatever you went through could have created that. And so I'm not ever opposed to medication. I think we have to be careful with medication because it's just not natural. You know, it's obviously like a supplement. And the reason we're supplementing, the thing is, I'm not saying the chemical imbalance is not real. It's very real. It's scientifically proven. But what I'm saying is we have to be just careful on the medications and careful on how we, our relationship to them. But I never want to stigmatize it or make it seem like it's a bad thing or it's not the right answer. I'm not a doctor, but this is just my opinion of, I think there's sometimes more holistic ways that have worked for people and there's sometimes not. And you just got to do, you know, what you got to do. But I'm not discrediting doctors or medication at all. This is just literally me talking for 30 minutes about my own stories and opinions and ideas. So thank you for checking it out, hanging out. We have like 8 more minutes. It's just 22 minutes right now. But yeah, guys, I hope this is resonating. I wish, like I said, there was like a way to talk, you know, one-on-one with people. But I'm also trying to like give you, you know, opinions and pointers on like trying not to people please, trying not to just serve people as in like, oh, I need another podcast up. I need another Instagram post up. I need another this up, you know, and like trying not to just create just to create. So anyway, like, yeah, my dream, like I would love to release a podcast every single week, interview tons of people that come through my house and my studio, create more of these where I talk about different things. I'm creating these videos called IGTV videos on my Instagram. If you check them out, I was so freaking nervous and still am when I record and edit those. Like the one I just posted a couple days ago was about love is a muscle. And I literally, and this is true, like, and this is just how it is. I don't understand if it's lack of self-confidence, but every single IGTV video I've shot and edited, I've like, this is so dumb. I'm not going to post this because it's just normal in my brain, right? These conversations I have, and I've had to like talk to a friend and be like, hey, is this good? And like, so literally that love is a muscle. When I was talking to my friend Leah, and I was like, yeah, I made an IGTV video, but I don't know. It just sounds so repetitive. Like everyone knows it sounds dumb, and showed it to her and she's like, this is freaking amazing. Please post this right now. And I'm just like, really? Okay, good. So then I posted and then yeah, people really resonate and share. And the same with these podcasts. I don't know. I never want to come from a place of entitlement. Like, hey, I'm know everything. I'm trying to teach you something. I just always want to be like, yo, this is just an idea that sits in my head and I appreciate you guys for checking it out. Okay. So anyway, the three topics was mental health, relationships, I never really made this announcement, but I was trying to go a whole year without going on a date or doing anything. with a female. And so I was like, all right, well, I'm just going to heal myself, because the top three reasons I want to not date someone for a year is I want to heal myself so I don't just go into another relationship, not healed, and therefore I could potentially harm someone or hurt someone. Two, I wanted to see if my intentions were right. Like every time I wanted to go on a date with a girl or talk to a girl, I always wanted to be like, okay, what's my intention with this? Like, is it more than just, I don't know. I just always wanted to see like what my intention was. Like, is it authentic? And then three, I wanted to make sure my value and my worth wasn't coming from, the validation of, a female, which it's like so easy to be like, oh my God, I'm not good enough. I'm not good looking enough. I'm not successful enough. I'm not this enough. Well, let me go see if a girl likes me, and then I'll feel like those things. And so I was just like, what if I just, every time I felt like I wanted to do that, I kind of re-harnessed it somewhere else. So those were the top three reasons. And obviously I was really busy, so it made it a little bit easier, but I realized, and I don't know if this is true, so I did actually go on a date the other day, which was like a first date in almost a year, I think like 10 months with someone else. Super weird, super difficult, just because I'm a very emotional person. Like I do cry, but I'm not emotional, like over emotional. I just carry my heart like right on my sleeve. So it was really difficult. Really, on some level, not difficult, like I was like struggling, but it was like, holy crap, like this is it. And also, I'm not going to make it a year, which I felt like I failed myself, because it was the kind of a thing with myself. But at the same time, I was like, but at the same time, I just want to, you know, I just want to try it out, do it. And what I learned for me personally is letting go. Like, so I'm a very hopeful person. Like, just at the end of the day, I'm very hopeful and optimistic. And I'm not saying I was hopeful that we would get back together, but I'm kind of was hopeful, like, not that I want to be back together or like we should be back together, but it was just like, that's just my characteristic of like, I'm like, okay, I'm just not going to date for a year, and hopefully in a year, me and her can figure stuff out. But that's just not how it is, because we tried to figure stuff out. So I knew it wasn't supposed to be. So anyway, went on a date, and just within that experience, literally felt like I let it go. Like it was like, I was like, oh my gosh, like, whoa, I can finally give it to God, like all of these like fears and worries I had. So as much as I think healing, you need to take time after a relationship, there was something beautiful in like exploring that part of my heart again, which was very terrifying, like I said, but very exciting, because this exciting and terrifying is like the same emotion, just different words. And it was great. It was like a huge blessing. And I literally was like, whoa, I can finally like give this thing over to God, because I feel like I was holding on tight of like this hope of like, okay, if I just, you know, do this, and then I don't know, the whole year thing was like, I guess it was like pros and cons for sure. But yeah, I went on a date, and yeah, kind of was like the next, it kind of let me let go of it and kind of move on. Like I feel like almost like officially move on. I think I wasn't moving on while I was holding on to that concept. And yeah, this is crazy I'm sharing this, because I never share like intimate sides of my life, but I want to learn how to and get better at it, especially like the relationship side. But I also want to like encourage people in their breakups or their tough seasons. So in our mentorship mastermind program, we had 25 people in the program, and they were the most incredible, loving. There was 18 to 27 year olds, all walks of life, all different stories, all different kinds of people. And I think like 4 or 5 of them after our mastermind broke up with their boyfriend or girlfriend, and they kind of like leveled up in their life. And that's one thing I want people to always feel, is like, you need to level up. Like if you feel like you're destined for greatness and purpose and just beautiful, amazing, creative things, like, and you have feel like you're dating someone, and I don't want to say like they broke up with them because they're better than them, but I think they were just evolving, and they might get back together with some of those people. But I think they were like, whoa, my life is so much bigger than this relationship and this job and this college. Like my life is big, and I need to explore these emotions and feelings by myself, because I need to feel confident in who I am and fall in love with who I am. So 5 or 6 people broke up with their boyfriend and girlfriend, which was, I don't know. I get stoked on that stuff, not because I like breakups, but I love people taking a leap of faith on themselves to be like, I'm gonna freaking fall in love with myself and my passions and my purpose. And it's going to make me the best boyfriend and girlfriend when I find my person. And I'm sure I'll do more episodes about relationships and theories I have, because I can go literally hours talking about how you should really you know, find certain things like that before you find your person, and really have a purpose bigger than yourself before you find your person. And I have a lot of different theories on that. But I hope this 30 minutes kind of like dabbled in and tapped into some different emotions and thoughts and ideas. But I just wanted to share my heart on my mental health, how I stay healthy, how I stay, you know, ground and sound, and how I have to learn how to not burn bridges, but I think, like, you know, just figure out who I want in my life and be really intentional about that. And especially in LA, but also when you become like this person where people want your energy or your attention or your time, you have to be really disciplined and discerned with who you give it to. And sometimes it won't make sense. Sometimes you'll grab coffee with a 16-year-old kid who's struggling with a breakup, and then sometimes you'll say no to a 35-year-old businessman that wants to donate to your charity. Like, it's just like, you will always have to just play discernment and figure out what is most sound for your mental health, and you'll go in seasons. I think the biggest thing I want to leave you with is there's seasons of your life. There's high seasons, there's low seasons, just like there's four seasons. There's summer, winter, fall, spring. I tell people, like, hey, you're in your winter season. Like, you're just in a low season. And some of your friends are in their summer season. And the reason we have community is because when I'm in my summer season, I help my friends in their winter season. And when I'm in my winter season, my summer friends help me. Like, that's community at its core and essence. And if you're going through a tough season of breakup or heartbreak or college or a job you don't like, just know it's a season and know it's not infinite. And like the definition of who you are, just know you're just, you know, in it and going to learn through it and work through it. So we reached 30 minutes. I love you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. Please go give this like a rating on iTunes. If you guys listen to iTunes or watch it, like, give it like a rating. And then I'm going to try to drop either Cam or Sorrell's episode in the next couple days, and then continue just busting these out and recording them. And you people listening to these are my OG, like, A1 since day one kind of people, because you're just listening to this. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just stoked for the people who like are with me since day one, because one day we're going to make it, y'all. Just kidding. We already made it. But I love you guys. I hope that opened up a little bit. That was really crazy and tough for me to talk about my relationship. But I really just wanted to be honest and vulnerable. And I didn't go into details, obviously, but because I want to respect the relationship and who we are. But I wanted to talk about my feelings, emotions, starting my new season and chapter of like potentially trying to date people, which I've never actually done. I've only had two girlfriends, and I've never really like done the whole dating thing, but I don't even know if I want to. But anyway, I don't want to overthink it. I don't even want to have this conversation on podcast. But anyway, I love you guys. Thank you so much for checking out 30 minutes monologue, mental health, relationships, and where I'm at right now with the podcast. And hopefully I can just continue to bust these out, record these, and I appreciate y'all. I hope you have an amazing freaking day, and let me know if you listened to this, checked it out, and I love you. Thank you. Peace.